Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift with Mike, Bo, Ellie Mac, and Dylan at 7:02 in this hour. Is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service.
When I hear this song, I think of three things. Dale Earnhardt Sr.
That's what I was going to say. This ought to be good.
Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump's what I think of.
America. And before you tweet me, I do know what he's saying in this song, which is John Fogerty, the leader of the singer of Creedence Clearwater Revival at the time. I know what the lyrics are talking about, but that's what I think of, because the when Dale Earnhardt died, like a couple years later, they came out with the Dale Earnhardt documentary, the first one, and it was like had Paul Newman narrate it and voice it, and this song is playing at the beginning, so I always think Earnhardt.
Well, it was.
That's something.
I thought I'd share that with you.
I can see the look on Allie's face. She's like, I don't know where to go from here, but thank you for that.
Thank
I just
you.
Wanted to share with the group.
Fun facts with Bo Morgan.
Yeah. You do an Earnhardt trivia and let's see who wins.
I'll try. We'll work on that.
Hey,
we'll
the answer is Earnhardt.
Well, it was up and down with the headlines for the Braves yesterday. One bright spot, though, was Ronald Acuña being named to the All-Star game. This will be his fifth appearance in the All-Star game. And it was kind of uncertain whether he was going to make it, since this was kind of a comeback season for him.
Yeah, I think it was much needed good news yesterday. And obviously, he's very thankful for it. Now, I think just it was so important for me, since the game is here, to have Ronald Acuña on this roster and to be one of those guys that can represent the city of Atlanta, because he is the best player here. He is the face of that franchise right now. And I think it's going to be awesome for Braves fans to have that out on the field and be able to see that both in the game and in the home run derby. It's a good feeling.
Yeah, he can join the Dodgers and Mets that are on the starting lineup, essentially, with a Padre and a Cub thrown in there. Oh, a couple Cubs, actually. Pete Crow Armstrong. How about that guy?
He's just jumped
on the scene. You know what? It's cool, because I'm hard on Braves Country on Twitter, because there's a lot of negative and a lot of ridiculousness and just a lot of ignorance. But this is the greatness of Braves Country, because it's huge. And I think we forget that, you talked about America's sweethearts, the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. Mm-hmm. They're America's team, or they claim to be in the NFL. The Braves really are America's team in baseball. TBS, the footprint that it had, and that people could watch this team in the heyday of the Braves in those 90s. And Ronald Acuña Jr. is one of the most popular players in baseball, whether the rest of the world likes it or not, and he's ours. So you hear that, Carlos Pena? I think it was Carlos Pena on MLB Network was like, well, the Braves need to see whatever they need to trade Ronald Acuña Jr. and get whatever they can. Now, he's ours, and he wants to be here. He said that yesterday. He was talking yesterday, and he was like, Atlanta is everything to me. I want to be here forever. I love this team, this organization. And we've lost Freddie Freeman. We've lost Max Fried. Freddie Freeman was – and we lost Dansby. Freeman was a guy I didn't think we could ever lose. I'm not
12 years he was here.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if this organization could lose Ronald Acuña Jr. And I know that it's not in the DNA of what we do to sign players long term, and it doesn't make sense right now, because he's been injured twice in the last 4 years. However, if I'm Alex, I'm like, I'm going to the powers be, and then like, we cannot lose this guy. We have to sign him to a big deal. We have to sign him to a 10-year. Right now, he's, 25, 26, maybe?
Yeah. 25?
He might be 27. But we have to sign him to a long-term deal, and we have to do it now. Like, we can't mess around. I had to change my verbiage.
Well, and we were talking about a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was just last week, about different Braves that have gone off and worn different uniforms and how bizarre it is to see them. Could you imagine Ronald in any other uniform but a Braves uniform?
But it makes me sick to think about, because I know who spends money in this league and that would be willing to afford a guy like Ronald Acuña. And the thought of that happening with any of those teams that are popping in my head, I don't even want to say it out loud. It makes me sick.
Yeah, let's not put it in the universe.
Yeah, I don't need to put it out in the ethos. And you've seen who has signed guys to big contracts, gigantic contracts, over the last few years. And you can name them right down the list of – where Bryce Harper went, where Juan Soto went, where Shohei Ohtani went, and you're like, no thanks, I'm good. No,
there's actually
thank you.
Four teams. I'm not afraid to say them. It'll be the Dodgers, the Mets, the Yankees, or the Phillies. That's where he would go. And it would – I mean, that's why I'm saying, Freddie was the guy that most people love, but he wasn't. He forgive me for saying these things, but he wasn't like Mike Vick, Deion Sanders, like pop off, just transcendent as far as how everyone has to. Everyone loves the energy and all the things that he brings. That's what Ronald Acuña Jr. is. And I said, forgive me, because, you know, Deion did leave here, and Michael Vick did leave, and you didn't win anything with those guys here. But that is the energy that he brings to an organization. It's different at a game when he's leading off. That's why you can't move him out. That's one of the reasons you don't leave him, move him.
We don't have to the lead off. Back into that conversation.
It's a different environment, a different energy, a different ballpark, atmosphere, whatever the word you want to use when he's there. And so he is 27, by the way. So if they sign him a 10-year deal, he'd be about 38. I don't know how that would be. Maybe figure out how to. Liberty's not going to do one of those deals either, where they're like, we'll pay you $400 million, but you only get $100 of it up front, and we pay you the rest, and, you know, Bobby Bonilla, you know, it's just not going to happen. Or now Freddie Freeman, now Shohei Ohtani. It's not going to happen.
Well, it ends with Ronald is saying he wants to be here, so let's keep him here. As far as the game last night, Braves did win 8-3 against the Angels. Jerickson Profar was back, went 2-for-4 with a solo home run. Sean Murphy hit a 3-run homer, and Matt Olson got a grand slam. But Matt was saying after the game, this streak that he's on right now is not going to affect his approach at the plate.
Yeah, I mean, I'm aware of it now, you know. week or so ago, probably not. You know, it's fun stuff for you guys to talk about, but it doesn't affect what we go and do out there.
Matt Olson is the Chase Elliott of the Atlanta Braves organization. It's just like, that was the most Matt Olson clip ever. Yep, not going to affect me.
But I appreciate, though, that he's saying it's fun for us to talk about.
Sure.
But he's not paying attention
to it. Well, and he can't. And that's the bottom line. He can't pay attention to it, because like we were talking about analyzing things and looking at iPads, looking at film, there's a media side of that as well, where you can't pay attention to the good things that are being said about you or the streaks that are going on. You just have to hyper-focus on what the next pitch is going to be and how you can, you know, keep your swing smooth. And we talked a lot about how he starts to heat up in June, and Austin Riley is a July guy. And hopefully, if we can get both those two guys to sync up and add in a little Yerkes and Profar and get Ronald Acuña back going, that maybe this offense can deliver in the month of July, and obviously off to a pretty good start.
Well, and this is my thing with the Olson haters, and it's why I get so frustrated when we talk about Freddie Freeman here. Like, you know, basically it's disrespectful, because, you know, you look at and it's quieted down a little bit because Olson has been so hot, but you go look at his career numbers. And he's got right now his batting average is higher. His on-base percentage is almost 20 points higher. His slugging and his OPS are, I mean, like the slightest of slightly lower. But once again, this is a guy who averages 30 home runs a year, 100 RBIs, and last year he just missed it. He was 29 and 98. But the year before, and the 2 years before, he was 34, 103, 54. So he's right on track. I mean, he is just what he is. He's steady. He's a gold glove player. Yeah, he's boring. But, I mean, I think that the having a guy that's grounded is good. When you have a guy that's so up, like Ronnie, you do need a guy to ground you. And then you get guys in the middle.
Yeah, I will say, too, and I have to have this caveat in here, is that most of the I don't talk to many Matt Olson haters, and I know what you're going to say to that, but just follow me here. I think most of the people that talk about Matt Olson just simply talk about him in the light of Freddie Freeman should be here, and I don't think it's necessarily a Matt Olson hate. I think it's an attitude towards the Braves of, why didn't we make this happen, and why didn't we make Freddie happen, and why is he now winning MVP awards and winning World Series with the Los Angeles Dodgers? It's not as much. To me, the lingering effects of the Matt Olson thing are not as much about Matt Olson as they are about the Atlanta Braves and the Freddie Freeman debacle. So, yeah, I mean, he's been great. There's no doubt about it, and I am a big fan. And I joked about the Chase Elliott thing just because it almost becomes comical at this point when you listen to Matt Olson give answers. It's, you're not going to get a ton of entertaining insight. It's just not who he is, and I appreciate that about him because he does bring a calming effect to this team, no doubt.
Well, now I'm going to send you a clip of Matt Olson being funny. And it's just to make up, just to defend him. But in the reality, look, I think there is some truth to what you said. I don't believe it all truth, though, because I hear people talk about, well, his batting average is lower, and he doesn't do – Freddie does this. And I think people forget that Freddie was great here, phenomenal. He's a Hall of Fame player. He's the best first baseman in baseball. To that point, there's a real – well, it's my point, so I don't get to do her. But to that, I think you can make a real case that Olson is number two. Do I think he's number two? No, I think he's probably three or four. But you can make an argument. You can make an argument with his numbers. Because he's a better glove than Bryce Harper, but Bryce Harper's a better bat. But Bryce Harper is also more of a Freddie Freeman. And if he had a better glove,
Alonso in there.
Yeah, Alonso I don't think is as good as a glove as Olson, and I don't think he's as consistent as we think. He's a big hitter, but he strikes out too, and he's also kind of a jerk, so whatever.
Well, and one question mark we did have going into last night's game is Didier Fuentes, you know, he had only gotten to pitch in Miami and then New York. And so he finally got to start last night at home. And here is Brian Snitker on how his experience is just different every single time.
He did a lot better. You know, I mean, it's going to be, I think every time he goes out there, it's going to be a new experience. I just kind of thought he got caught up and just launching the ball in the first inning. And he only had a couple of strikeouts, but, you know, he kind of settled down and kind of pitched a little bit. And breaking ball wasn't too bad. He was throwing some changes that were up on the thing as splits. But, yeah, I mean, it's you know, I'd be real surprised if most of his starts aren't like that, quite honestly, as he's as young as he is and inexperienced and getting a feel for things.
It's all good points. I think what we need to mention about we always go back to Schwellenbach, like, well, he figured out like a month and a half in, right, mm-hmm. or a month in. He also had college baseball. And Schwellenbach's what, like 24? And I know that
25.
Schwellenbach is?
Mm-hmm.
That's quick. Doing your research on Schwellenbach.
I read it this morning.
and I know that he didn't start. He wasn't a starter, right, Mike? I get he was a reliever, but he still played and kind of matured and everything. Didier is 20.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm not even 40. I'm 38 years old. I was graduating high school when he was born. And so you kind of got to keep that into perspective. Yeah, that'd make you sick. You got to keep that into perspective.
Dude, I was in college.
Don't do that to yourself. Don't map things out that way.
I should have been graduating college when he was born.
I know.
It's like just, I said, should have.
But any, he's doing well. I can't wait to talk to Grant coming up in a little bit because I do want to know what the immediate future is for him and what he thinks about Didier Fuentes so far through three starts.
I was really impressed and encouraged last night. I was about to tweet. He was literally like one strike away from me tweeting, "Thank Didier Fuentes just grew up in that inning." And then base hit, pass ball, base hit. And I was like, glad I didn't even cue that one up.
Well, like Mike mentioned, we do have Grant McCauley coming up at 8:20 today, and we can ask him about Didier and the Braves and the season with all the news that was breaking yesterday. But coming up next, you know, we cover the hard topics here, guys. Where does the 4th of July rank holiday-wise? I have a feeling this is going to be a very heated debate, though. And we've also got an interesting NIL deal happening. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and...
The Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. You've got Mike here, Bo, myself, Allie Mack, and Dylan is behind the glass playing all the patriotic music this morning because tomorrow is, of course, the 4th of July. I just do have a little etiquette tip tomorrow if you're running the Peachtree Road Race. It's amazing if you are. First time, amazing, but little thing.
Wear deodorant. Wear deodorant.
Are you about to be a gatekeeper? Because I feel it coming.
No, it's just a little thing that you might not know if you've never run a race before.
Pasties.
No.
This man said well, pasties.
Well, Dylan, if you don't know, it's a thing. You will chafe, my friend.
Scott. Oh, no, you're right. You're absolutely right.
I mean,
Abe has, of course, talked about nipple chafing.
It's not surprising in any way. That's the last thing I want to hear. I don't want to hear his name and nipple chafing in the same sentence again.
Let's let Allie talk to the rookies out there.
I regret bringing this up right now. It's not pasties. It's about when you're running tomorrow, if you happen to need to slow down and walk, you need to raise your hand. Just like you're in school, raise your hand to let the people around you know you're about to start walking.
Full stop.
It will keep you safe because there are 60,000 people running around you, and that is race etiquette. Raise your hand.
You know what I just found out, too?
Would have never thought that was a thing.
So Simone's one of her sisters, shout out to Sydney. She's coming in town later on tonight. Her and Simone are actually running in the PC Road Race.
Nice.
And they told me this, but I forgot, and then she reminded me last night.
Wait a minute. So you're not running with her?
Oh, absolutely not.
She didn't reserve you a spot?
I'm not mad that she did.
She asked your permission?
No, she didn't.
She didn't tell her sister, I can't run if Dylan's not running.
No.
Is there another bib for Dylan?
Yeah.
You know what's funny is you go to that, I go to the fact that how do you forget that? Like, how do you forget when you're...
That's a good question.
Like, I'm sure she's been training. Like, how do you just full forget that your significant other, the person that you ask permission for almost everything to do... is running in the Peachtree Road Race.
Simone tells me.
And this isn't about Simone, this is about you.
No, absolutely. Simone tells me a lot of things, and she asked me, like, obviously, because she's a content creator, so she always asks me, like, content advice. So I get so much information from Simone that I legit have trouble keeping it all in. And it sounds like I'm just making stuff up, but I'm serious. Like, Simone gives me so much information on a daily basis that it's hard to all keep in there.
I think that's most men.
Yeah. You know what I just heard?
I want to take up for Dylan on this one because I feed Grant so much information as far as, like, races, and so there's no way he can keep track of all of it. Like, I can't keep track of all the Braves games he goes to. Yeah. So.
I just heard Dylan say, she talks so much, I just stopped listening.
No, that's not the case. It's just hard to remember it all.
I mean, my wife has, like, one of those gigantic calendars on our wall in the kitchen where she writes in marker the whole month and writes it out, and I still be like, hey, what day do the kids have swim lessons? She's like, it's been on the calendar for 3 weeks. And then she's got next to it, she's got a paper, like, planner for the whole year where you can go into that one and write down, like, something that's 2 months in advance. And I still am like, I have no idea.
Dude, kids do that to you. I am very good. I never double book anything. Never. The last two times I've had my haircut appointment, I have double booked. The last two times. I never double book anything. And and both those have come since Pork Chops here.
Yep.
So whatever reason, it's like, oh, I know I can do it this. Like, I double booked my haircut and my golf lesson the other day. Luckily, I was able to move one because I got to get, I had to get my fresh haircut for 4th of July, man, my favorite holiday.
But there is something about those big calendars that are color-coded, events are written on there. They turn into wallpaper after a while, and you're like, I'm just not looking.
It is bad. And, we've tried different apps and things like that and update your calendars and this, all that, and the other. There's just so many different compartments to life for anybody that, like, you're like, okay, that one's for me, like a haircut appointment, and then what my wife is doing, and then, what the kids are doing. Yeah. And there's, like, all this other stuff going on, things I got to do for work, things I just want to do personally, trips we're going to take. Like, it's hard. It is hard, especially this time of year.
Well, and there's so many different calendars, whether it's your phone, your work email versus your personal email. There's just so much going on. But that's why tomorrow is nice to have a little reprieve, day off to refresh and reflect on America's birthday.
There you go.
Is it, in fact, the best holiday of the year? What do you two think?
It's mine. It's my favorite holiday. I love 4th of July. There's only one slight downfall for 4th of July for me is it's officially the countdown to training camp. Once 4th of July is over, the next thing on my schedule is, I mean, there'll be SEC media days this year and the All-Star game since it's in town, but training camp is the end of the summer for me because now I'm working pretty much every weekend. But yeah, I love 4th of July. I've always loved it. It's great because you get everything. You get the grill. You get to go to the pool or the lake. You get people eating hot dogs in a contest and some of them throwing up on them. So, like, it's phenomenal. You get to drink, you get to watch fireworks. Like, everything good just goes into one. I absolutely love the 4th of July. Yeah, I've always loved it.
4th of July for most of my life was number one on my list for sure. Obviously, having the two kids now, Christmas morning is just special in our house. And also, I've really grown to understand Thanksgiving and what it actually like being around family and everything. Mm-hmm. That's a huge deal for us at this point. We alternate going to my wife's family for Thanksgiving, and the next year we'll go to Florida, which is where my family's at.
This year it's Florida, right?
This year is a Florida year, yes. Yeah. So we'll be going down there. And it's, you know, obviously I'll go down there with my dad, watch the Iron Bowl, whatever it may be. So that's always a cool thing. But, yeah, I mean, I would say that it's definitely top three for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they all, you could probably lump in Memorial Day and Labor Day as, like, holidays that are similar to the 4th of July, but yeah, right there in the middle of the summer, it just gives you that one day where you're like, all right, man, I'm throwing down.
It's interesting that that's your take because you've had kids for a little bit and yep. You do have family out of town. My family is in the metro area, both sides. The other holidays are work for me. Thanksgiving, going multiple places, Christmas. Now, Christmas is changing this year for us because we're going to be at home now, but multiple places. And 4th of July was always my favorite, you know, anyways, but it's been elevated because it's the one holiday I know I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
Like, I know, hey, we're going to a buddy's house to my buddy Brent, he's like, I want to do a burger bar. And it's funny because his wife is also vegan. And so...
Why is it funny?
Because you're vegan.
And I knew what he was saying, but the way he worded it was like, you know...
Well, it's funny that a guy, his wife's vegan, wants to do a burger bar, and then your husband is like, I bought 3 briskets and 90 yeah. hot dogs like, and 125 burgers.
Brent is also dealing with a situation.
Yes. Like. Yeah. Allie?
I think it's adorable, though, that these guys on the 4th of July get to invite people over, and they're like, let's meet
out. Yeah.
Like, you know,
I might get both of my girls going on Friday. I might get both of them going.
You know what's funny is
there was a pause in there somewhere, but you know, I'll let it slide.
You know what's funny is I don't want to talk about other people, but my buddy, he is not vegan, and his wife and his son are. I think the son just went back now to meet, but at one point he was. So their daughter, I just assumed, was vegan, and I came over with a pork butt, and like I was like, here's the meat, and I was like, and I put it down, and she was sitting there, and I was like, oh my bad, I know you probably don't eat meat, and she's like, what? She's like. I eat meat. And I was like, oh, I just assumed because your mom and brother didn't, and you didn't either. She's like, no, that's their choice, not mine.
Exactly.
And I was like, all right. So
everybody can make their own choice.
God bless you.
So let's talk about this NIL deal that's going on. Jeremiah Smith signed with Adidas, goes to Ohio State, which is a Nike school. So it's kind of an interesting situation we have going on here.
Yeah, I think it's been interesting to see how – and honestly, they're not the only one that has come up in the apparel room. I think it was – was it Auburn that switched back to Nike or Adidas or something just a couple of days ago? And this Jeremiah Smith news coming out with obviously – this is going to be one of the new frontiers in terms of college licensing and NIL deals where these guys are going to start challenging the fact that you have to wear a certain cleat and you have to do things a certain way when they're a part of these college places. I know that, you know, we wondered earlier, and I know Rusty gave Bo some answers, but – it's just one of those things where you look at it and you wonder what the future is because obviously things have changed a lot in college football over the last couple of years. There's a lot of money involved in these licensing and apparel deals, and there's a lot of kids now that are looking at NIL going, dude, it's time. I'm ready to get this money, and there's a lot of checks being dangled out there. Pause.
What's interesting to me is that it's completely different from what they are. They've been a Nike school always. And Nike either didn't offer him enough or didn't offer at all. And it's just kind of interesting to me that Nike missed the boat on this because they're normally, you know, out front. And now you have the best player possibly in college football, but the best player on the defending national champion in a competing brand from Nike. And probably, I don't know, is Under Armour still 2 or is Adidas back into the 2 spot?
I'm not sure.
But either way, it's one of the biggest competing brands to Nike, and he's wearing Adidas. And everything he does will be in Adidas other than on game day. Now, or, you know, when he's on the practice field, he has to wear Adidas. That's what, I mean, Nike, excuse me. But he's walking around campus. He's going to be wearing Adidas stuff. He's going to be on social media posts in Ohio State colored Adidas gear.
Do you guys worry, and this is kind of where my thought process went when I was reading on this, do you guys worry that eventually that this branding thing is going to become part of, you know, what part of the payment to certain schools? Like if you're a Nike and you're looking at this, and obviously they've been a part of this Oregon thing for a long time, but if you're Nike, you're looking and going, why don't we just sign every single kid on this team to an NIL deal if you're Nike. Like, the money might be worth it. Now, you're not going to be able to sign everybody to a Jeremiah Smith deal, but then you start looking at where kids are making decisions and they're going, well, I can make this much more money because of Nike if I go to Ohio State. Like, I think that that'll be the next frontier.
Yeah, and Wes Durham just hit me up and said that the Cooper Flag was the New Balance guy, which I could see Cooper Flag wearing old man Frickies, the New Balance, the white New Balance. But that's, it's interesting, and it's just going, you've opened up everything. It's turning, look, everything that happens in the NFL is happening in college football now. You know, when, like I used the example earlier, Julio Jones was an Under Armour athlete who had to wear Nike because that's the NFL deal. And he did, but he still wore Under Armour shoes. I just wonder how the language moves forward where these players push to wear the branding of the shoe that they are, you know, they're in. Like, when does these deals get reworked where these schools are like, hey, our players want to wear their own shoes. They still got to wear the Nike stuff, though, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, this whole thing is just going to be ever-evolving and interesting to watch. But coming up next, if you have Braves notifications turned on, your phone was going nuts yesterday. And we do have a Mic'd Up coming up. It's Fair or Foul, special edition since it's Thursday. So Fair or Foul, guys, think about this one. Drake London will make the top 40 on the NFL top 100 players list next year.
Wow.
Think about it. We'll talk about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
It's the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with Mike, Bo, Ali Mack, Dylan, trying very hard not to sing along right now.
Yes. Well, and I was going to add, Bo is not an emotional person. I am when it comes to, like, my kids. You know, I cried, cried when my daughter and my son were born. These songs, like this, buddy, I'm not good. I'm not good with these songs. And Kane Brown's got one out right now.
Yes, he does.
Lord of mercy, I can't even make it through that one. Yeah, I can't.
You need to clarify when you say I'm not an emotional person. I think most people think I'm an overly emotional person. I'm just not like a crier. Like, I don't really cry.
You're not a sappy person, is that right?
Sentimental?
I'm extremely sentimental. Okay. I just don't cry a lot. Like, I'm not like trying to play tough guy. I mean, I get angry and things make me sad, but I just don't like tear up.
You're an enigma.
I will tell you that you want to see me get a little bit emotional. There's a couple of scenes in movies that get me, like the scene in Field of Dreams when the little girl's choking.
Oh, and the hot dog.
And he can't, if he crosses over, he can't go back.
Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert.
If you haven't seen Field of Dreams, then you've never seen Field of Dreams?
I haven't seen Field of Dreams, no.
And then in Braveheart, when he's like stretched out and he's like, say mercy.
I have not seen Braveheart. Spoiler alert.
See, I just want to put for the record, I've seen both of those.
And he screams freedom. Like, that gets me, too, a little bit. And maybe that scene in The Patriot.
Just Braveheart gets him, but not the kids.
he's not a sappy guy.
That man died for his country, man. William Wallace, I mean, that...
The birth of my daughter, no. William Wallace, absolutely,
he
every time.
He screams freedom. Yeah. He's being stretched. And they got the thing in his... They're ripping his guts out.
Yeah.
He screams freedom.
Yeah, like, I know.
Yeah, that gets to me a little bit, man.
I don't blame you. It's just ironic. It's
that
just
scene
funny.
In The Patriot when they shoot his son and he just goes ham with the hatchet.
That's about children, though. There you go.
Yeah, that's a father's
there
love.
There you go.
Yeah.
That kind of that merges the two.
There we go.
There you go.
There we go.
No, he grabs a flag and he runs back over the hill. He's like, don't retreat.
I there's another one. There's a song got me yesterday that Cole Swindell just came out with called Dale Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And Buddy... He's talking about how him and Dale Jr. are having beers talking about their dad. They're both their dads passed away. And that one right there will get you. Holy shnikes, that one will get you hard.
Yeah, I've heard about this, so I need to listen to it. Have you seen The Patriot, Allie?
Yes, I've seen The Patriot. It's been a minute, so I don't know every scene.
Okay, where are you on Tires, the TV show on Netflix?
5 minutes in, because I was trying to watch it as I was going to sleep, and I realized it's too funny to fall asleep to. Yeah.
What are you laughing about?
Because, yeah, you can talk about that song later. Hey, have you seen The Patriot? I got stuff I need to deal with here.
I know we have things to talk about, but this is really important to me.
Now, get back on my topic.
Sometimes I get very, very selfish with a conversation.
Yeah.
And I want it to go where I want to go.
There you
That's
go.
When it's all about the page. Now, look, I need to hear that. Look, I don't know. I just, there is a song that that makes me a little bit. You guys know the great Miller Pope, who was our engineer for years, Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. He did remotes. Right around the time that he passed away, Zach Bryan came out with this this song about like going back home for a funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know. And Amy actually texted me and was like, hey, this song makes me think about Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And probably for you. And that actually got me a little bit.
Yeah,
I didn't cry, but it got me. Like, it made me sad.
I'm starting to hear a wake-up call topic in this. What songs make you emotional?
That's not what we want to talk about 4th of July. I want to talk about what you're grilling, what kind of meat you got.
We can double the combo.
Yeah, whatever you're feeling this morning. I mean, it is emotional. Proud to be an American makes me emotional when
I was
going to
say,
it.
There are definitely 4th of July songs that will make me emotional.
100%.
Yeah, when I hear real American.
There you go.
Think about that time that Hulk Hogan fought Sergeant Slaughter at WrestleMania when for the Iraq.
Save that for 8:20 when Grant McCauley calls in. You can reminisce with him about that topic.
That's what you better lead Grant McCauley in with, Don.
This hour has been brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Now, Braves fans were basically like watching tennis yesterday. The swings of the news kept going back and forth. Jurickson is back. Verdugo is DFA'd. Schwellenbach is on the IL. Oh, but Ronald is an all-star, and then we won the game. Like, what in Braves country happened yesterday? I don't
know. That was our season in a nutshell.
Seriously.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Ups and downs and ups and downs and ups and downs. And, you know, Sean Murphy's red hot. Matt Olson is red hot. Ronnie's a little bit cold right now. Yurickson Profar strikes out with the bases loaded, swinging at a ball, and then he hits a home run that was, man, that looked like one of my golf balls that slice on it like that. That thing was hooking, but it was just crazy. Didier Fuentes was the same way in that game. Man, this guy's unhittable. Oh well, there's three straight hits. Oh, he's back to unhittable. Oh yeah, there's that guy walks a guy. Like, he was all over the place too, but it was good because he threw some stuff that was completely filthy.
Yeah, he's got good stuff, and I think that's always been the thing is, you know, we talk so much about Spencer Schwellenbach and how he came in and he was just pounding the zone. It's a little bit opposite with Didier, that he's trying to be a little bit too much on the edge, and it leads to pass balls, wild pitches, other things like that, and him being a little uncomfortable. He's just got to be more efficient, and hopefully he can be, because obviously this team's going to lean on him.
If I was a pitching coach, which I'm not, and I don't know anything about, like, close to what those guys do, but I would just say the same thing to young pitchers over and over again. Trust your stuff.
Yeah.
Go in the zone. Trust your stuff. Throw strikes.
There you have it. That Thursday edition of Fair Foul Friday. Now, I did spend some time yesterday trying to come up with a cool name for a Fair Foul Thursday. Got nothing. I was like, this or that Thursday. And like, nah, I've got nothing. So, reminder, today's Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta location.
I did try the same thing. I was like, fair foul fourth, but then it has to be 4th of July edition. So anyway. All right. So fair or foul? Braves, like we've been mentioning, have been having a rough go of it. So is it fair or foul for a Braves fan to say we when the Braves win and they when the Braves lose?
I'm going to let Bo take this one off the top.
Oh, it's foul. It's foul. No, there's no, if you're going to we it, then you better wee it all the time.
I think it's foul, but I feel like we all do this.
They.
I feel like we all do this. They did. They couldn't hit yesterday. They weren't.
I don't remember saying, we scored 8 runs. Maybe I did. I mean, I don't know.
I would be willing to bet that we probably all did that today.
I think the question is asked in the tense that you only acknowledge, you know, you're a part of the team when they win. That's the way I see it. That, you know, a lot of people have a problem when people say we. I used to not like it. I always say,
I was playing.
How many snaps did you get yesterday? We lost yesterday. How many snaps did you get? But I tell people that they're like, well, you can't say we. I go, the hell I can't. I'm with that team everywhere they go. I can say we all I want.
With the Braves too?
No, with the Falcons.
Okay.
I don't consciously say we with the Braves.
I was going to say.
Now, I say. Mean,
be careful. Allie's got a lot of stuff we can go back to that she's written down in her notebook.
I don't. But that's our team, and that's my team, but I don't consciously say we. Now, if I do it, it's not. On purpose.
I'm going to pay attention a little bit closer now.
Yeah, whatever.
So when you get to a 4th of July party and you notice the host is busy grilling, running around, and they haven't curated a playlist, is it fair or foul to take over the aux cord?
Ooh.
Mike, you start.
Fair. It's fair, and I hate this. This is a thing. And I don't come up in my house and take my aux cord. But if I go to somebody's house that the vibe is off and you're playing some kind of music that I don't want to listen to, I would be the first one during a cookout to be like, hey, let me get that thing.
Mm-hmm.
I subscribe to Spotify. I pay the $15 a month or whatever it is. I got this, fam. Get out the way.
Well, it's foul unless you get permission. And you can softly hint at it. Hey, man, like, you want to get some tunes going? Or you mind if I play some music? And then you give the person, I'll get the playlist going now. If not, sometimes they'll yell, but yeah, man, go ahead. And then you also need to be very understanding that it's their house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not put on like Death Row's greatest hits.
Remember having this conversation after the Christmas party I went to where the guy was playing his vinyls with Bocelli?
Yeah.
And I was like, dude.
But that was. But you were trying to play football.
Yeah, I was going to say there was the playoffs were on. I was like, all right, come on.
And you got Andre Bocelli in the background. Oh, my gosh. All right, so we talked about yesterday how Drake London made the top 100 NFL players list. Thought he could go a little bit higher, lower in the list. Fair or foul, Drake will be in the top 40 after this season.
I would say statistically it's got to be fair, although I'm going to go foul here because I don't know that stat-wise it's going to make a huge leap, so it's hard for me to say he's going to jump 60 spots because I expect the stats to be pretty similar because they were great last year.
I think it's fair because he's already made the list, and if he ups it, like, he does double-digit touchdowns or has, 1,400 yards instead of 1,271. A guy tweeted me yesterday when I tweeted he should be hiring. This guy goes, he's going to have his breakout year this year. And I go, I'm pretty sure 100 catches, 1,271 yards, and 9 touchdowns is a breakout year. He goes, no, but he's really going to have a lot of stats. I was like, okay. And which I love. I love the optimism because I'm an optimist.
Fair or foul? This is the weekly edition of this. Dylan will beat the freeze before he gets his car fixed.
foul, because neither one of them are happening, okay?
Yeah, I've got to go with the same thing. I say it's foul. I don't know when he's getting his car fixed, but he ain't beating the freeze, so it is what it is. I'm going to go foul on that one.
Man, I can't wait till I beat the freeze, and I'm just going to – that's something I'm going to rub in y'all's face for a long, long
time. I hope
time.
You do, man.
I hope you do. All right, fair or foul, the morning shift will clear at least a dozen hot dogs between the four of us tomorrow.
Oh, man. I'm going to say foul. I don't know that I got hot dogs in the menu. It'd be ribs for me. So hot dogs probably won't be a thing. Although once my kids start eating hot dogs, it's going down at my house, but not yet.
No, foul. I'm doing burgers. I do have some of those beef franks from the Omaha Steaks, and oh, man, those are the best hot dogs you'll ever eat.
This is a very un-American show. Like, that should have been fair.
No, it's not. I'm smoking ribs tomorrow. That's not un-American. Is what it is. Hot dogs not on the menu.
All right, fair or foul. Michael Penix will play at least 3 quarters in preseason.
I'm gonna say that's fair. I'm gonna go right at 3 quarters. I'm gonna say one half, then starts one game and plays a quarter, and then he's out.
I'm gonna go foul. He played 2 last preseason, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm going to clarify this. The only reason I'm saying that is because Kirk Cousins is his backup quarterback. And so I think that adds a wrinkle to this situation where you don't want to get Kirk hurt either, because that could be a trade carrot out there.
Welcome to the party, Emory Jones.
Well, coming up, we've got the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. You can jump on the show with us right now. What are your 4th of July plans? Are you grilling? Are you going to be eating some hot dogs?
Yeah. Are you going to have sappy music playing?
Yeah. Are you going to play Andre Bocelli? are you going to be running the peach tree? And what is your temperature with the Braves right now? Because it's been so up and down lately. Give us a call, 404-726-0929. Also on Twitter at 929MorningShift. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.